Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, Money Marler, Chris Marler, Vern Dennyquist. What's up, buddy?
Hello, buddy. How we doing? We got a good day today. I'm already riled up and distracted.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the week? What was your biggest takeaway? Was Auburn robbed? Is Oklahoma elite? What's your thoughts on can you recall the SEC coming out and releasing a statement like that that said a touchdown shouldn't have been called?
I'm going to date myself here. I remember in 1995, Alabama played Arkansas, and Arkansas scored on a very last-minute touchdown where the ball hit the ground first, and then he caught it, and they won the game. They ended up going to the SEC championship game that year, and that was a pretty big win and reason why. Also, I think Bama was on probation for like the 18th year in a row that year. But that was the only other time. They came out and suspended the crew the next week. That's the only time I really remember that happening. And I don't know if they made a vocal thing about it.
Hey, shout out loyal cousin Emily. Shout out to Marler for triggering the Sooner guy on Locked On. Watching him go so defensive and pitching a fit was the highlight of my Sunday. I'll have to go back and watch that. I haven't seen that yet.
I almost called you after it happened. It was fucking real.
Recap it for us.
I made a point that the SEC continues to fuck up, and they do. The officiating has been bad.
Wait, didn't you hear the Oklahoma radio guy said this is a legal play? They checked, even though the SEC literally came out and said it was not illegal, but the Oklahoma radio guy says it is, so it was legal.
The thing that was so weird was that they had – I look like shit, by the way. I'm sick over here. I'm having a hard time.
I'm sick of you.
I'm sick of me too, man. No one hates me as much as I hate myself, Mike. You know that. No, so I just moved the angle of the thing, so I'm sure that'll make me look 10 years younger. Anyway, so what's weird about this is like, I just thought that when the SEC came out, they were going to be like, hey, we fucked up, our bad. We're clearly not going to do anything about it. Also, very good point, Coconuts. But they're not going to do anything about it. I just thought all like Oklahoma fans would be like, okay. So they did catch it. It was correct. It was the right call because the conference said it was. And they're the ones that wrote the fucking rules. And they were like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's a legal play. What else did you want him to do? And it's like, no one is saying anything negative. You guys got the benefit of the doubt and the benefit of the play and the call being wrong. Like, Mike, from start to finish, let's recap what happened. Oklahoma lined up in like a tempo offense, which they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have to make excuses because I feel like, as Emily saw yesterday, I'm going to say Bloody Mary three times and someone's going to fucking come out and lash out irrationally at me like yesterday. So they run up like up tempo and they run somebody off the side of the field. As he's running off the side of the field, he stops. He apparently looks at the official and the official says like, yeah, you're good, whatever. And then runs a route. While this is happening, though, Hugh Freeze is screaming for a timeout because DJ Durkin sees it. So the idea that the coaching staff should have done something better, I don't know what else you could have done. Maybe Hugh was using his inside voice. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Got to give us a call in that situation there for our program. It's a pretty big loss. Like, maybe he was doing that. But then they let the play run. They don't get the timeout. They let the play run, and then he scores. What I was confused about was that in the studio, they treated it like it was a fucking like targeting call or a catch. They were like, yeah, I'm looking at the rule book right here. It says, you know, for the rules that we made up for the sport that you're watching right now, can't do that. It's illegal. And they were like, touchdown, commercial break. What do you think about the new drink at Sonic? And it was like, at no point did they stop the play.
Yeah.
At no point did they stop and say, we're going to correct this. And like, I'm not saying it means that Oklahoma would have lost. No one is, besides maybe Auburn fans. It's just another fuck up in a long line of fuck ups that the SEC continues to do.
And hey, I heard something very interesting this morning. I don't know if you're aware of this, because I wasn't either. But I was listening to McElroy and Kublik, their morning radio show. And so Greg McElroy was the guy on the call, right? According to him, they have 20 cameras that are assigned to literally watch the field. And this is an elite crew. This is the highest level SEC ABC crew. He says it's the same crew that when ABC gets the Super Bowl, This is the camera crew. When obviously they get every Monday Night Football, this is the same crew. I didn't realize that. I thought it was like the crews go with college and NFL. No, he said it's the same one. It was their it's their A crew. They have 20 cameras on the field. There was only one camera that showed Satania on the field. Like that's how tricky. He said it. They damn near fooled 20 cameras. So to say this wasn't shady, I mean, I think that kind of puts it to a little bit of perspective.
And then also they brought up the fact that it was like Oklahoma fans like, okay, so he runs off the field and then he looks at the official and it's like, no one's saying you didn't execute it perfectly. What we're saying is just because one fucking idiot goes off and looks at another fucking idiot, and I'm talking about the ref, and he says, hey, we good? The ref's like, yeah, man, this is really sneaky, dude. Really sneaky. I'm not going to say anything. Do it. And then he does it. That doesn't mean it's not illegal. And then Ben Arbuckle was like, giving the bird to somebody. Also, he was sitting there and he was like, yeah, you know.
I will say, though, if he was giving that bird to Hugh Freeze, I condone it. I condone everything.
I mean, fair. But I also love the fact that Brodo Baggins and Jeez Louise are catching me in the act right now. I have not changed clothes since yesterday. I have felt awful all night and this morning. And
all that means is they're super fans. I mean, they're watching you at every outlet that you're on.
I appreciate that.
I do the same thing, Chris. I wear the same shirt basically when I'm not on camera, but they'll call you out on it. And hell, I do. If I do two, I'll be doing three shows today. If I wear the same shirt, same deal. So I just mix up the shirts are right there. I switch them out. Nobody's the wiser. You know what?
I also hasn't changed clothes since last week. That's not true. It's a Josh Pate situation. Okay. Shut up.
Hey, you know who we're not going to shut up though. I don't want to leave this guy hanging because he shows up literally every show and donates a membership. So shout out JR.
Legend cousin JR has done it again.
He changes his clothes all the time. Trust me. Unlike Chris, damn it, I just had it too. I had who he donated to, but I've. Oh wait, here we go. It's Kyle G. Kyle G. Welcome to the family. We appreciate you, JR. Unlike Chris, who shows up on time here. And shout out Austin Wayne, big Tennessee fan. We appreciate you, Austin. He gifted that chicken 15-15. He's a big Sooner. He's probably he's cackling at all your commotions over there, Chris. So shout out Austin. And then how about Stringer Films? 9 out of 10. He would have called a timeout earlier.
What's weird to me is that, like, again, like, it's if somebody would have made the Bender comment 3 years ago, I would have been very concerned. But we're good now, guys. But my eyes do look like shit. Anyway, let me focus here. I don't think Auburn fans they have the right to complain, and it doesn't take away what it's still hilarious because it couldn't happen to a fan base that deserves less in terms of this kind of thing happening. Like, you saw them take advantage of the rules in the 2019 Iron Bowl. They were gifted. People kept talking about the Arkansas game in 2020. How about the Ole Miss game a week later when Ole Miss kicked off and Tank Bigsby's going to return the kick? You remember this? And the ball grazed his finger and Ole Miss recovers it and they don't call anything. And it was like they showed the replay and his fingers bit back. Like, they benefited from a lot of bad calls from the ref. I just think that
Arkansas fans will tell you all. Remember Bo Nix snapped the ball. He dropped it. He picked it up. And he's the only spike I've ever seen in my life backwards. You cannot spike the football backwards. That's a live ball that Arkansas recovered. And they said, nah, that's a legal play.
He fumbled it and then did it too, which has made it even worse. It was like, what? Love the crash out post game show. That was a tough one, dude. Dude, Missouri looked great. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. anyway, I think that it doesn't make me think less of Oklahoma. It makes me think a little bit more of Auburn because it's like, what a great game that was in general. I mean, it's a perfect loss for Auburn fans, and I mean this. No, I mean this to be a dick.
Impressed with Auburn or Oklahoma in that game?
I don't know if I would say either. I thought it was just a great game. Like, I was impressed with both. I thought, dude, Oklahoma got 10 sacks, and they were missing their best pass rusher through half the game. I'm not going to stat sheet read here. I thought John Mateer looked very mortal in this game. Like, I thought he was inaccurate on a couple of throws.
Say that on this program.
That version of him was still that good. Yeah. Like, I mean, think about that. Like I didn't think he was as good as we've seen him in the past. It's not a knock on him at all because he played a really good game. It's just not like his ceiling is so high. It wasn't even scratching the surface of that. So was impressed by that. I think for Auburn, it's like, man, you look at this and you're like, okay, the bad call, sure. The overturn for a touchdown, a couple of PIs on Cam Coleman. And then you have to sit here and say to yourself on the way home, well, you know, if we just didn't give up 10 sacks, yeah. If we just didn't give up 10 sacks, we might have won. And it's like, that's so many sacks for one. Two, there's a couple passes. What does it say?
He said he used to hate you, now he likes you.
Oh, who said that? No, he didn't.
Gold Mace.
That's you, dummy.
That's not me.
Oh, you used to hate me and now you love me. So there you go. I thought it was like one of those perfect losses for Auburn because like it gives them enough hope. It gives them enough hope. But I do agree with this, and I'll phrase it from the way Josh Pate said it because he's smarter than me and also doesn't change his shirts. And I said it before him though yesterday. The frustrating thing is it's not that they're continuing to get this wrong. It's that too, but it's like, dude, this is $1 million. You're putting millions of dollars of resources into a billions of dollars product. And then like, for whatever reason, this is like just not getting any of your focus and it's damaging the product. Like the SEC would have objectively had a fourth team in the college football playoff last year if the refs weren't so bad in that LSU South Carolina game. Like that's how you look at it. So it's like, I don't think they're trying to skew things in a way that favors the SEC because they fucked themselves last year on it. But at the same time, it's like, there's clearly an issue. Just fix the fucking issue. And also hold someone accountable for once. Like, I just don't get that part.
They said appropriate actions will be taken.
I'm like 5 inches taller than Josh Pate. What the fuck are you talking about?
My money's on Pate. All right. Well, how about this then? Since you brought it up, I was just going to let it slide here. 29-20 Mizzou, South Carolina. More impressed with Missouri and their elite dynamic running attack, or more disappointed in Carolina and their crappy tackling?
The tackling was so bad, dude. If you don't want to bring your arms to tackle, then just fucking stay on the sideline, dude. It is. That is also very true, Jesus, or whoever said it. That's really good. Brodo Baggins. That's a really good comment. I think that I was impressed with how Lenore Sellers looked at times during the game. I was honestly, people gave me a lot of shit for this in the post game on our Locked On show, but I was impressed with the play calling in comparison to how bad it's been in the first three games. Like, I thought Mike Shula looked better. I thought he called up a couple of plays that could have been much bigger plays if Lenore's has a couple more seconds to throw or like a little, like half second to throw, or is a little bit more accurate. But the run game is just so pathetically bad. I mean, the offensive line is so pathetically bad. This is another thing where I think that you hold someone accountable and you fire Lonnie Teasley into the fucking sun, man. Excuse my language. Shouldn't have said that. Don't clip that, Mike. For real. I think Lonnie Teasley, though, it's like a good recruiter. But at the same time, it's like this has been – you haven't progressed at all. Think about how many other units that we've seen at South Carolina under Beamer that have progressed or gotten better or been good. This one hasn't. It's arguably gotten worse. And it's not like you haven't brought in more talent. You know, when Spencer Rattler got there his first year, he went from an Oklahoma program that had 11 four or five star offensive linemen on the roster. So 11 blue chip offensive linemen. South Carolina had two when he got there. That number has increased by a pretty significant amount. And it's just like, you haven't gotten any better. We've seen them develop three stars though, at every other position, even Worry, the kids he brought in for the portal. And for whatever reason, this unit has just gotten, it hasn't gotten better at all. It's just really, really, you're going to waste Lenora Sellers in a year where I said this the other day, I think that you people were kind of banking on if he doesn't go pro, it's because he didn't play well enough. Or that's what would have like kept him another year. I think he goes regardless at this point, because I don't know if he wants to stay behind this offensive line for another year.
Or transfer to Tennessee and become a superstar. You know what I'm saying?
I also feel like I didn't give enough credit to Missouri. Missouri's, I'm so glad that everyone gets to see that Ahmad Hardy is great. I thought the key to this was take away the run game, make Bo Prabula beat with the pass, because that's the strength of South Carolina's defense, I thought. It was the opposite, obviously. They ran the ball like around, through, and over South Carolina for 60 minutes, and it was really impressive.
Nothing you said about Sellers I think is incorrect about, you know, not getting the help he deserves. Yeah. But also, isn't it fair, I think, for a second-year quarterback, he seems to be not – reading defenses very well. He's missing open touchdowns or open targets. The most egregious, and this happened a couple times in the game, was like that first and goal from what, the two, and he takes like a 15-yard. And I get it. He didn't have time, but you just throw that damn ball away. You know what I mean?
That's the fucking end zone, dude.
Some of this is on him as well.
Did you watch the replay of that, though, that play?
I believe I did, yeah.
I think one of the most frustrating parts of that, it wasn't a trick question, I promise, is that Russell Faison, who is the kid from Utah State, is in to block. One, you're at first and goal from the 2-yard line. What if we just open up the series with using your fucking 6'3", 240-pound quarterback that runs a 4.4 to see if he can get to the edge? Just see if he can get to the edge. And if not, maybe he runs over somebody. I don't know. Maybe he falls forward for the 2 yards you have left to gain. We'll see if that works, Mike Shula. But instead, we get cute and try to run a, you know, I'm not saying we as the team, but you know what I mean? Like, where, like, you're trying to run a play action pass, and like, it just seems so stupid. And then they get a holding call in the next play, and it's second and 25. And that's the maddening part, because it's like they just refuse to not shoot themselves in the foot. But on that play, Mike, Russell Faison's in the block and like does like a barrel roll or something at the feet of the lineman. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, dude, this is not a 5'10", 180-pound scat back, right? Like Josh Pate, who I would beat in a fight. No, it is a 6-foot, 220-pound, 25-year-old man. And it's like, at some point, somebody needs to help out a little bit.
He's older than Diego. I don't know why no one ever mentions that.
Him and Attaway are both seventh-year seniors. It's like,
yep,
crazy.
Hey, well, let me ask you this. I swear, I'm not trying to troll or anything like that, but I think this is a legitimate question, and I didn't think about it till I saw from our friend Brad Powers. He's been on the show, but he predicted, and this is prior to the Missouri game, so I assume he thought Missouri was going to lose, or excuse me, that they were going to lose to Missouri. That he predicts South Carolina will not make a bowl. Where do you stand? 2-2, tough schedule here. I'm not saying they're not making a bowl, but I'm just kind of curious. What's the likelihood in your mind?
Oh, I shrugged that off so hard at first because it was like, yeah, they'll make a bowl. But then you look at it, and it's like I see two wins that are guaranteed: Coastal Carolina, Kentucky.
Right.
Somebody said this, and I don't think they were even trying to be funny, but they were like. Yeah, I mean, I'm just worried because I know we're going to be Kentucky, Coastal Carolina, and Clemson. And it's just like I don't even know if that's far-fetched. I still agree that like they're better than those teams, especially what we've seen from Clemson so far.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go get another win? I would hope so. I think that the thing that gives me pause is how bad they can look when things fall apart. Dylan Stewart, after losing his composure against Vanderbilt, then you see reports that he stormed off to the locker room instead of like singing the alma mater, and Beamer has to go run him down. Like that kind of stuff, it's frustrating. And that's a leader, right? Like that's somebody on the team that you need to be invested into this season. So it's frustrating to see if it doesn't play out that way. The other thing, though, that I will say, and I think this is the delusion speaking, but I'll say it anyway, is, man, they were 3-3 last year, right? They were 3-3, arguably the same type of schedule on the back end, and they were able to go out there and beat a lot of teams. Now Oklahoma was a much different version of itself last year, but we don't know about A&M. Like, A&M always falls apart late. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know as much as we think we know maybe about Bama. Like, I just
– Ole Miss could fall apart. They don't want me to say that, but they got LSU, Georgia, at Oklahoma prior to this South Carolina game. They're going to be beat to hell.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't think playing in Vaught Hemingway Stadium is that difficult. So I think that it's one of those things. I mean, they're 16-1 since 2023, but like, I also shouldn't look that stat.
It's more of a Kiffin stat than anything, you know?
Let me argue against the point I just made.
We were talking a lot of Carolina. Like you said, let's give Missouri some credit here.
Yeah.
After 4-0, they're going to cruise to 5-0 with UMass. How likely is it that Missouri makes a college football playoff once they get off to this 5-0 start?
I have them in. Because I think they go 10-2, and I think their losses are to Bama and Oklahoma. I mean, what if they beat Bama? I mean, Bama needs to break his foot again. I mean, like, that's a win. The Vandy game could be tougher than people think, but I think Vandy's also coming off of a game against Bama and LSU. They have a week off between those two, but still, like, that's kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we're going to know so much more in October But man, I really like this Mizzou team because like the secondary is concerning. The secondary is concerning in terms of the big plays they broke up and just the amount of broken coverages, man. Like South Carolina should have never been in that game to be that one dimensional. And they were obviously because of that. And so I think that they'll improve clearly. I think they'll be good, but I like Missouri a lot, man.
I know you do. I know you do. What are your thoughts on Florida losing 26-7? Any surprise that Billy Napier's still the coach down here?
When do you pull the trigger, man? Like, what are we doing here? I say this over and over again. Like,
Is there a benefit to doing it early? I truly don't know. I mean, at times, you know, it used to be like, well, we got to get a head start on recruiting. Well, from what I know of Florida, they want to hire like a big name coach because I think they're done with this, you know, hire G5 guys or hot coordinators. I think they're going to try to go big game hunting, right? Who in the hell is going to leave? No one's going to leave their job in the middle of the year. So, I get it. They're frustrated, but I don't know. What is the benefit of firing the coach right now? I don't think they're keeping him. The benefit of keeping him is, I mean, that you kind of keep the thing together, even though it's not clearly not working. But I don't know. Yeah, here's the deal: we got a 4-game transfer rule, so anybody can hit the portal, can you know, and reserve a red shirt if you fire him now. So that's a positive, and he's proven he can survive something like his previous. Now I don't think he's going to, but I think given the track record last year, I think he's shown he can kind of turn it around.
Yeah, that's also fair. That's fair. I will say this. If you, hold on. This is work. Hold on.
Drink to Florida.
Yeah, that would be wild. I think they fire before Florida, before Georgia, because like, go back to the schedule real quick. Hail Snake, favorite thing for some reason. You're not going to be. Maybe they do beat Texas. Honestly, like maybe they beat Texas.
Yeah, and then he's right back, right?
And so they get a week off. Maybe they fucking circle the wagons. A&M, I don't think they'll beat. This is like their 13th trip to A&M since they've been in the league, and then they get Mississippi State at home. I think you're looking at a 3-win team at best going into Georgia, mm-hmm. And I think that like it makes sense in my opinion to do it before then because, do you want Georgia to put the nail in the coffin? I mean, like maybe you do. Like maybe you do want Georgia to put the nail in the coffin. I don't know. I think
or Kentucky.
I don't know the best.
Maybe that's what you do. You fire him right after Kentucky to just create this like really awkward situation for Ole Miss because it's just going to be, oh, Lane Kiffin's a guy. Did you hear that? We're going to have to do that for a week. Yeah. And maybe that gives Florida some kind of slight advantage there psychologically.
I mean, I do think what you said is the best point anyone's made, which is like he has done it before. Like this is kind of where we were last time with this whole thing. But also like, dude, 1-3 for the first time since 1986.
Yes.
It's insane. I mean – but the other part of it too is like you had a player spit on somebody from South Florida, right? You had a coach slap a player from another team a week later. Like
it maybe he had a bug on him, you know?
Yeah. It's Louisiana, dude. Trust me. It's well, not right now because it's raining, but I'm sure that'll give us zero relief with the humidity, which is great. But no, I mean like this feels like almost progress this week because you didn't have something fucking stupid like that happen. But that being said, you know,
aside from the offense,
is so, dude, TJ, what's happening? What happened?
Oh, buddy.
It was funny at first, and now I feel bad.
Yeah. I guess you nailed it, even though you backtracked quicker and shit. Then you said, hey, I never backtracked. I told you he was overrated.
I would never say that.
You took when you take all sides, you can't possibly be wrong.
That's right. You taught me that.
All right. Anything else stand out in the weekend in the SEC? Marler, this is kind of like the million-dollar question. I know you're already well aware of it. Who do we start here? Oh, red-hot Trinidad or Austin Simmons? I mean, they're both – I would say Chambliss is playing better.
You'd say that, Mike?
But I think Simmons is gives you the higher ceiling. I don't know what they do. I think if Austin Simmons is 100% healthy, which I don't think he is, I think he's going to be their starting quarterback. What do you think?
This is not a quarterback controversy. Like, we've seen them both play the same amount of games. Mm-hmm. They both won the same amount of games, which is great. One of those guys beat two better teams, significantly better teams. Arkansas is significantly better than Kentucky. Tulane might be better than all three of the other teams they played. What they did to Tulane on Saturday was really, really impressive. Now, keep in mind, that's a Tulane team that was not only undefeated, but they had two wins over Power Four teams. And they are, like, I mean, like, you know, Jake Retzlaff he's been really, really good at BYU, obviously. He's been really, really good so far this year. And I know they beat Northwestern and Duke, but at the same time, it's like those are still Power Four wins as a G5 program. Like, a lot of people had them as a potential G6 school or G5 school, whatever, to make it to the College Football Playoff. And you beat them so badly, you made them force a quarterback change. You held them to 10 points. Like, I mean, they destroyed Tulane. And Tulane's it's a good team. So I was really impressed with them as a whole. I was wondering where Pete Golding's defense has been the past couple weeks, like being able to, like, really suffocate folks like he did last year. I think Chambliss is the starter. I mean, like, higher completion percentage, you're more explosive. He's averaged over 415 yards per game in two games of offense. He's scored on the ground. He's scored through the air. Like, I don't think this is a decision. Like one of them also has more starting experience, and that's Chambliss. Like, I know it's at a different level, but, like, what has he done the past 2 weeks that gives you pause to say, hey, going into our biggest game of the season so far, let's go back to the guy that was leading the SEC in interceptions for 2 weeks and see if we can get into a situation that he puts us in where you fucking are in a 10-point hole like he did against Kentucky because he can't seem to find his own receivers at the start of the game.
Well, here's the difference. That I don't think everything you just said is rational and accurate, but what we're trying to accomplish here in Oxford is not to beat Tulane and Arkansas. We are trying to beat LSU. We're trying to beat Georgia. We're trying to win the SEC and get to the national championship.
Sure.
And I get it. Austin Simmons, not that guy today. But what is it that he's lacking? He's lacking experience. How do we get him to the point to where we know we can unlock his potential, where we can do those things? Can you do that with Trinidad? I'm not saying they can't, but I would lean they probably can't.
I disagree. And maybe you're right, Mike. You usually aren't, but maybe this time you are. Listen, this is the best quarterback LSU's defense is going to have faced going into the month of October. Like, I don't think any of us thought that was going to be the case when you had you know, DJ Lagway and Cade Klubnik on the docket, I think, for the month of September going into the season. I get it that Austin Simmons was a starter. Obviously, Lane Kiffin knows quarterbacks. He's also sat here and figured out ways to get, he saw them all fall camp and in the summer, I'm sure, and figure out, like, this is my starter, this is the guy. And you're probably right, the whole thing with the ceiling. At the same time, is there someone else in the country as a play caller or offensive-minded coach or QB guru that you trust more to do more with less than Lane Kiffin? Because if I'm Kiffin, I feel confident that either quarterback I play, I'm going to be able to dial up some things that they're going to hit. Chambliss has played better than Simmons, like, point blank period. And I think him coming off the bench after being out for two games and facing what might be the best defense in the country is a big, big, big risk he's going to take.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, you know what else is a big risk? Losing to Memphis? Come on, what the hell are we doing here? Oh, buddy, thoughts on this? And, man, I know we both like Sam Pittman, but this is inexcusable, isn't it?
Dude, what's crazy about this game, and I think I tweeted this out, is that Arkansas was 17 of 17 in the red zone with 17 touchdowns scored going into this, like the second half of this game. Like, Memphis is a good team. You blew your shot to win, and then you found another way. And then, Mike, they had a chance to get the ball back again and then had a 350-pound lineman get dragged for 7 yards. But it was like, It just it honestly made me so sad for Sam Pittman, man. It's just like, what's up, Cocky Pod? It made me so sad for Arkansas because it just like he's gonna be gone. I think this is what he should be doing. Go back to that last thing. That's
SEC Network.
Yes. I need more of Sam Pittman in my life in general. I would sell a soul to have him be the offensive line coach at South Carolina or Bama or one of those places. I don't know why Georgia fans think they're going to get him back. I hope that doesn't happen. but yeah, man, he Talen Green, he kind of looked a little bit more like 2024 Talen Green. Like he was just making a couple throws and decisions where they were like, oh, he fit it into a tight window. And you're like, I don't think there's a single Arkansas fan that was like, man, did you see him fit that ball in that tight window? And it was like, no, what the fuck are you throwing into, dude? He was throwing like 8-yard intermediate routes into like triple coverage. You're like, oh my God, I can't watch this.
Mm. Well, how about, can you watch Vanderbilt go up and down the damn field, all people? Has that surprised you at all? Again, I know it's Georgia State, but 4-0, about to be 5-0. What a damn story here.
Revenge game. dude, that is he's so good, dude. He's so good. I was like looking, I was like, dang, they scored 70 points. That's so many points for Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And
first time since 1918, Chris.
And that's what I was gonna say next, dickhead. I was just about to say it.
Yeah. I got some more for you too. Let's see. I think it's the first time that they've scored. Let's see. Here we go. Nope. First time in 20 years they've scored a touchdown on the first four possessions. That's insane to think about. And the first time since 1916 that they have scored 30 or more points in each of their first four games since 1916.
That's crazy.
Thank you, Diego.
They just fucking a wrecking ball. Who are they playing in 19? Like, the schedule hasn't been super difficult this year, but I would like to see a side-by-side. Hold on. Let's just fucking do it. 1916.
Can Vanderbilt make the playoff?
No. That's
shut Why up. Not?
Because I said so. That's insane.
Who are they losing to?
I don't know at this point, dude. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, is that the world we're going to live in? Is this Trump's America? That's what we're going to do? That's just a joke. No one get upset.
I think Clark Lee's going to be the hottest coaching candidate.
Dude, the 1916 team played an arguably tougher schedule. Ole Miss, Kentucky, Southwestern Presbyterian, and Transylvania. They had to beat fucking vampires to get off that start. Hey, dude, listen to this. Their 1916 team, they won 35-0, 45-0, 42-0, and 86-0.
Over Transylvania?
86-0 without a forward pass sounds fucking miserable. That's
Emily asked an important question, not for this season, but next. What happens when Diego leaves? Here's what they're going to do. This is college football now.
Yeah.
You go out there and you get the portal, the best, most capable guy you can to keep it rolling. That's what I'd say.
You find another Husky Johnny Manziel. It's really loud. I'm a hot mom.
That wants to be a podcaster. There must be some quarterback that's got a New Mexico State connection that we can get.
I'm sure they have the entire, I hope that Vandy just keeps doing the same thing they have been doing, which is like, all right, let's find a G6 school in the Southwest region of the United States. And let's just fucking take their whole roster, dude. like they are just playing the board game Risk with other teams' rosters. And they're like, no, we're taking all this. It's coming with us.
Mm-hmm. Hey, all right. So let's look ahead to this week. I mean, my goodness, Chris. Which games are you most fired up about, or maybe the single one that you're, it might be an easy answer, but which one are you most fired up about, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, Mike. There's some pretty good games there. I know the one that's going to make me shit my pants.
Are you gonna be crying when Bama finally loses to Georgia?
You know,
here's the thing, because I'm sure you got all the stats. Kirby can't beat Bama. Yada, no. Yada, yada. Look at the records. How about this? None of these poor streaks here for Georgia against Bama, none of them have been in Athens.
What are you talking about?
It's always Tuscaloosa or Atlanta or in a playoff game.
They've lost there multiple times.
Under Kirby? Kirby as a head coach?
Oh, not under Kirby, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Back in 1916 after the Transylvania game, Bama went in there and wore their ass out. No, I think that the Georgia minus three seems like a pretty easy. Vegas is wrong about this one. Like Vegas is just wrong about this one.
You're saying bet the mortgage on Bama, right?
There's no part of me that thinks that this Alabama team that we saw against Florida State, Kirby is going to exercise years worth of fucking demons that
have you ever heard of big game DeBoer?
No, not on the road.
Last year, LSU, what was the score? 42-13. Boom, big game on the road. Nailed it.
All five of his losses at Alabama have come on the road.
Yeah, but they weren't ready for those. You're talking bowl games. You're talking week one. Who gets ready for week one? Are we kidding ourselves here? You can't get up for a week one game at Florida State. They hit the snooze button that day. Did your screen freeze? I think it did. Damn it. Back to Marler having shitty internet. Or maybe he's just stunned by that comment. I think he's just terrified to admit that old Bama is rolling into Athens with a ton of momentum. Everybody's going to be picking the dogs. And I don't know if they're ready for that smoke. Oh, wait. Is he still going? I don't think so. I'm going to get his ass off the screen. He's still froze there. Or maybe it's better with that better. Oh, there he goes. He went through the fourth dimensional. Farther to take a toot. I was trying to give him a hard time is what I was trying to do. And I think it just broke him. It broke his computer. It broke his internet. It broke his face. I don't know you could break it any more than I did. damn it. Let's see. Yeah, let's call Shane. I think Shane's working right now. Oh, maybe I'll call Josh Pate. Challenge him to a fight with Chris Marler because, hey, I didn't throw it out there, but he sure as hell did. Marler has the Louisiana internet. I can attest to that. He sharded himself. Can't risk moving. let's call him. Let's see what his issue is here. It's live podcasting here. He's on speakerphone.
Yo.
What happened?
Our power just went out.
Well, you're live on the show. I got you on speaker here. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear everything you're saying.
Oh, shit. Okay. I've been cussing up the storm here. All right, let me get my... Is that real? Let me try to get this thing back up. I'm going to text you right back. I'm restarting the router.
Okay. All right, bye. I don't believe him. I don't believe him at all. Do you believe him? You shouldn't, because he's a damn dirty liar. All right, but let's look ahead to the schedule here. Again, we'll talk, hopefully, with Marler here. He's rebooting here. Bama at Georgia. Man, I'm fired up for that damn game. I really do believe. I know I was kind of kidding before, but I think Bama has got some confidence going into this football game. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Everybody's picking Georgia. Everybody picked Georgia last year. We saw what happened. Ole Miss hosting LSU? I'm excited for that one too. I think it's a toss-up. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised more money hasn't come in on LSU. I don't know. I just got this feeling. I think because Ole Miss is kind of up in the air with their quarterback situation has got me a little concerned. Tennessee at Mississippi State? I think not enough eyes are on that one. I know Shane has no respect. No respect. He might try to fake it this week, but I don't think he will. He's got no respect for Mississippi State. He's told me as much off air. I mean, he thinks it's going to be like a 20, 30-point ball game. So I don't think it's anything like that. I mean, Josh Heupel screws these games up on the road. So I think there's a real possibility that Mississippi State can beat Tennessee in Starkville. Notre Dame, Arkansas, already getting emails from Arkansas fans. Can Sam Pittman win his job back by beating Notre Dame? Maybe that's his Tennessee moment from last season. I'm not sure I'm fully buying that. I think he's lost all goodwill essentially at this point in time, but he can win some of it back if Arkansas gets this win. How about Auburn at A&M? Now, again, that's a tricky game. A&M's got 2 weeks to prepare. How will they rebound after the win at Notre Dame? That's going to be very telling. But I think Auburn, based on what we've seen, I think they'll give A&M a good game because A&M, they don't have that defensive line anywhere close to what we saw last weekend at Oklahoma. A&M's a million miles away from having that good of a defensive line. So, and Jackson Arnold, I know he threw a couple passes that should have been intercepted, but he's not been intercepted all season. So, I don't know. I like what I've seen from Auburn this year, even though I've been a big hater of Hugh Freeze and company. I think Auburn's got a real good shot to win this game in College Station. And then last but not least in the conference, Kentucky, South Carolina, two teams that are desperate to get a win. This may be the last stand for Mark Stoops. And hell, it could be the beginning of the end for old Shane Beamer. I don't think so. But, man, could you imagine getting into a three-game losing streak with this schedule you got coming up? I don't know. Again, he'll survive it. I don't think he's on any kind of hot seat, but he'll start to lose a lot of fans. Hell, I saw a lot of fans bail on him after Vanderbilt for some reason, which I couldn't get. Meanwhile, Kentucky, aside from Florida, which you may not have a great shot at, but this may be your best shot to win here in the conference for a good while. So, hey, how was the shart? They were saying it looked like you sharted yourself and didn't want to move.
That is not what happened. But that would be terrible. I'm in a white chair. That'd be terrible. No, we we had storms down here. You wouldn't get it, Mike. Louisiana, just nothing like it.
Well, what I was saying was I think Alabama's got a shot to go in Athens and whoop that ass. What reaction? And then you froze like this.
I'm not responding to that. Jeffrey Langley says I've counted 26 F-bombs so far. Well, here's fucking 27, Jeff. This is the only time I get to let loose, brother. No, I don't. Like, I would be, if I'm being objective, Mike, and I hate saying this out loud, if we lose power again, I'm going to lose it.
I saw it flash.
I know.
Cocaine break. We got it.
So, I think there's a path. I do. I mean, I think I watched what Joey Aguilar did with Tennessee. It's a different offense. It's very different because Tennessee can actually run the ball. That's not what Alabama has been able to do at all so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see the path for sure. And they did it last year with a lesser quarterback, some would argue. So, but again, in that game, they ran for like 113 yards. And I don't see any path to where they are able to run for over 100 yards against Georgia the way they've been able. I mean, they've been inept at running the football so far this year. I think it'll be interesting to see them come out of the bye week because last year they came out like gangbusters, man, right out of the gate. Went up, I think, 28-0 in the first half, and it was 30-7 at halftime. So I could see it, but Georgia's lost one game at home since 2017, man, and that is a very tough place to play. And these people, they hate Tennessee. They hate Florida. They hate Georgia State Patrol for sure. But Alabama is the team they hate the most. And that's, I don't think that anybody that's being honest with themselves in Athens would tell you something differently.
Well, yeah, don't tell us anything differently. All right. But so, yeah, it seems like it's a heavy lean for you, Georgia, at, again, Monday. Things can change. So, yeah. Does that mean there's a better game on the docket? How about LSU Ole Miss? Do you think it would be a better game than Alabama Georgia possibly?
That's just so intriguing because I love Ole Miss's offense, and I think LSU feels better, but they're also a little bit banged up. They feel better about their offense after the Southeastern game, but it was interesting to watch Ole Miss's defense take a pretty big step forward, I think, against Tulane. Like, again, like Tulane has some pieces there, and Retzlaff is a good quarterback. So I wonder how much of the time that they're going to have to spend, like, watching tape and figure out, like, what to do defensively for LSU. They're going to spend on Simmons versus Chambliss and what they're going to do there. It feels like Ole Miss is a little bit tougher to defend. Also, the line is like half or sorry, I'm reading the comments again. The line has already moved up like 4 points. It opened up yesterday in some books at LSU minus 1.5. It's now Ole Miss at 2.5 and on DraftKings. I think that'll be interesting. That Notre Dame Arkansas game, man, there's a fun fact about 5.5 point spreads that I think was dating back to 2013. 73% of the teams that were 5.5 point underdogs covered the spread. So I think that's interesting. And it's at home. I hate that it's a morning game. I'm just dropping all sorts of knowledge bombs on you. Also, I keep forgetting that we get A&M and Auburn. That's a great game. Tennessee, Mississippi State's a good game. Like there's some really good games. The Kentucky, South Carolina better win that game. Like they better win that game. But I think that A&M Auburn game is also very interesting too, because Auburn is pretty bad. It feels like when they go to College Station for the most part. I think I'm right about that. I could be wrong. Who knows? But I think that A&M coming off the bye, especially, like we've seen them be very good. We've also seen Mike Elko's defense give up a lot of points, man. Like
right.
He's 20 in every game.
Does he lose any, the momentum? Did they lose momentum if they turn, from all the Notre Dame win, if they turn around and 2 weeks to prepare, lose at home to Auburn?
Wait, say that again?
Like, does the program lose any momentum? Because I think you look at that Notre Dame one as saying, okay, maybe this is a new era of A&M. We're not going to go 8-4 every year. We're not going to be a constant disappointment to our fans. I'm not saying they're winning the national championship this year because they beat Notre Dame, yeah. But I just feel like in years past, that was always a game A&M would lose. Now they've won it. But does any of that go out the window if you turn around 2 weeks to prepare and you lose to an SEC team, not, that ain't Georgia or something. Yeah. You lose at home. Does any of that momentum halt?
When you first started saying that, I thought it was stupid because most things you say are stupid and I hate you, but also no, like, cause I don't want to sit here and overreact each week necessarily and be like, oh my God, the sky is falling. Cause it's a long season.
But that's fun.
Yeah, that is true. But also I don't think you're that far off here, man. I think that Auburn coming off that devastating loss to A&M or to Oklahoma on the road, and then coming into A&M where A&M had a bye week and they're at home. Because go back to the schedule real quick. You look at the schedule and the way it sets up, and it's like, we're 3-0 right now if you're an A&M fan, right? You should theoretically be undefeated going into LSU if you win this weekend. You should lose at home to Mississippi State. You shouldn't lose to Florida. And,
And here's the deal, Chris. I know they bombard you with this too, I would imagine. They always claim what an elite home field advantage they have. Yet the record does not show that. Yet, again, I'm trying to be objective here. Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, South Carolina, Samford. There's no excuse. I mean, I know freak things happen, but you should win all those games if you're your home games, if you are a top 10 team.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't think you're wrong here at all. Again, the concern for me is you've given up so many points so far with a Mike Elko defense. Maybe that gets righted a little bit here, and they're able to figure it out. But at the same time, man, I mean, Oklahoma's a really good team, and Auburn, we're just having different conversations. We're having different conversations if a couple things go Auburn's way. I don't think you're wrong though, man. I don't think you're wrong. It also speaks to why that Oklahoma game was so important for them. Right. I wonder, you are catching Auburn at the best time.
Auburn loses, does the car start to wobble a little bit here?
Why are you saying that? Cause they got to play Georgia soon.
And then, I mean, Missouri's red hot. You just said Missouri could make you have them as a playoff team.
I was just making a joke about cars in Georgia.
Gotcha.
Yes.
It is Bama Georgia week. There's your evidence right there.
I didn't want to speed into that or anything like that. But, we all just got to slow down and not rush to any sort of judgment on these kids. Mm-hmm. I think that Mizzou's last girl at the bar hot is.
Hold on. Did they tell you to shut up?
Yeah, repeatedly. It was super fucking weird. It was super fucking. We didn't really get into it.
I'm gonna shut this down and go watch this. Why are we not watching this? Did you cut this and clip it or anything?
I'm glad you asked, Mike.
Can I clip it?
Somebody did clip it, and they took out any context of what I had said.
Oh,
so it's just me being like, and then when I was talking, he was like,
I just want a clip of them telling you to shut up. That's what I want.
and I was like. what is wrong with you? And then and him and I are cool now. I should say this. He apologized and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, it's whatever. But like he did that. And it was, I was like, what's going on? And then he started like yelling over me. He's like, do you want me to talk? And the whole time I kept thinking, I was like, not really. Like, but like, I was just trying to finish what I was saying. First off, it was wow. super weird. And then, whatever. Anyway,
did you get bullied? Says geez Louise.
No, I handled something in a professional way, which is hard to believe. I know, but, it was very,
odd. I can confirm on camera. This is the most professional man you're going to meet. Now off air. No. All right, how about this one though? Shit, what was I gonna say? We talked a little bit. Tennessee, Mississippi State, big game for Hale State and Tennessee. Man. Tennessee, they always find one game to shit the bed on the road. Could this be it?
I would probably wait until the 18th of October, 22nd of November for that to happen. okay. I think Tennessee's really good. I would be lying if I didn't say that, like, there is some concern there for what they're winning games by a bazillion, right? Like the games they're winning. Thank you, Camo Hippo. But also, they're giving up just too many points for, like, for my liking. I don't, maybe that's stupid. But, like, they are giving up a lot of points. I mean, the only game they haven't given up 20-plus points in is to East Tennessee State. So I think it's going to be interesting because I think that's kind of, like, what Mississippi State's supposed to be able to do under Jeff Lebby.
Yeah.
But also, like, the last 2 weeks, it's not like Mississippi State's looked super impressive. Like, I'm sorry, not the last 2 weeks. The Southern Miss game and the Northern Illinois game, those are games that you're supposed to win pretty handily. They were closer, I think, than they want to admit. I think the thing for State, though, is, like, you're just trying to get to where you're currently at, which is you've doubled up your win total from last year. You've already beaten your Vegas win total that they set the prop at for the start of the year. It's awesome to see, man. It really is. It's because Jeff Lebby seems like he went in there with a lot of hurdles, and he is built a lot like me. So it's hard for us big guys to get up over hurdles. And he's been able to figure out ways to, like, build this, like, from a foundational standpoint where they're not just, you know, putting band-aids over stuff. They're trying to commit to fix this program. And again, I think Tennessee's really, really good. I think they're going to make the playoff. I also think that, Mississippi State is a team that they have had to overcome, like, at least something different than no other team in the country's had to overcome, and losing Mike Leach like that, and then you have his replacement and you fire him after year one. Like, it's just been a crazy 3 years for Mississippi State. So it's good to see that program getting back on a stable ground, I think.
And perhaps this is overly simplistic, but I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm. This is Tennessee. This is Mississippi State. Their offenses are very similar. Defenses somewhat similar too. But Tennessee's just got way more overall talent. I mean, do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, for sure.
I just mean they are very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But we perhaps should not overcomplicate this and say, well, maybe they can give them a shot. I mean, Tennessee should win.
What's the line?
Right now, Tennessee 7.5.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude. Buy a point to 6.5 and bet everything you own or that your fiance owns, like I'll do. You know, that is, I have a hard time believing that will be a close game like that. I'm hoping for Mississippi State's, you know, standpoint it is, because I think we're all kind of, they've become this year's Arkansas where we're all kind of pulling for them. It's a great story. But yeah, Tennessee should bury those people.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I really want to get your thoughts on this, Chris. So this is Chris Lowe.
Use my graphic. This is bull crap.
Well, I didn't have it. You send it to me. The other Chris that we have on this show, on three,
he I'm is Chris High. Chris Snow. You know what I mean, brother?
Thought any of these stand out to you? I covered all this. I don't want to run through all of them, but any of these you really like, you really hate? This is the proposed permanent annual. Not permanent, but annual opponents for the next 4 years in the Southeastern Conference when we go to a 9-game schedule.
How'd they get them graphics so little in there, man? That's just, I don't
know. It is kind of hard to see.
It's a long time to do, brother. that's even better, Davis. That's good. So this pissed me off for one. And I'm just, I know that you will understand this, even though you were probably up before I was today. I wasn't feeling great today. And I was like, listen, all right, I'm going to get ready for tomorrow because tomorrow's the big show. I had all this content planned for work. And then somebody was like, of course it was on three. Like, I'm surprised On3 didn't come out with an announcement like, we're going to actually own the SEC now. Greg Sankey's working for On3. And they obviously put out the stuff. Go back to the graphic real quick if you don't mind.
Should they have held it for the release show?
I don't know why they didn't. I imagine the SEC's pretty fucking pissed. I mean, like, you were going to do it on your own network in between all those weird
right.
What do you call it? Commercials that they have. Who's doing the sales for the SEC network? But we got to get some new commercials.
Bet I could get in there.
I bet you could. Easily, dude. Anyway, so Bama's, I had heard a couple weeks ago down here in Baton Rouge that LSU-Bama game was going to start going away, and they were not going to play that. Now, I mean, keep in mind, they changed the name of this from permanent to annual because they are going to revisit this every 4 years, which I was happy to see about that. I think that's a good move because there's a couple of these that I look at that I'm like, that's kind of fucking stupid. Like, I could do without that. Vandy at Auburn. What is that? You know, and I hate to have that. That would be the first one that I point out. Mississippi State at Mississippi State Vandy. Ole Miss Vandy made sense to me. That's an old school Jefferson Pilot game. I've watched that 1,000 times. I think the thing that they did a good job of here was made sure there. That looks pretty good.
Wait, how did I get?
There you go.
It's not showing up for me. It's on the screen?
Yeah, it's on the screen.
Okay.
And it looks really good.
Way better graphic. You're right.
So I think the thing that sticks out to me the most is I love the fact that they kept the natural rivalries that they promised they were going to keep, right? Like the Iron Bowl, the Egg Bowl, Georgia, Florida, all those stayed. Little disappointed. We lose Georgia, Tennessee. We lose Florida, Tennessee. We lose Bama, LSU. LSU, Florida. That one kind of sucks. That's always a fun one. But I thought they did a pretty good job overall. There's no one that I look at and I'm like, oh, that team really, really got hosed versus that team really got, you know, like the luck of the draw here. The one game, and I'm looking directly at it on my on the graphic here, for whatever reason, it keeps probably just the bright colors. The Oklahoma Ole Miss game, that's a miss for me. That's a miss for me because there's no history there. I don't get it. That's a really good point from Emily Powell, as usual. Like, that, there is no way to please everyone. Like, you're right.
And isn't that better than the long rumored Florida Oklahoma?
I didn't hear that rumor. That's stupid too, though.
Yeah,
that is. I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, that's a really stupid game to have played.
And then the other one a lot of people have bitched about is A&M Missouri.
I'm fine with that. I thought South Carolina, Missouri would have made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the SEC is trying to do with A&M. Like, forcing the A&M LSU game is very weird. A&M Arkansas would have made sense to me as well. I think that A&M, like Arkansas, I would have replaced Arkansas, Texas with Arkansas, A&M.
That's the number one game, though, I think Arkansas wanted.
Was Texas?
Yeah, they love it.
Who said that?
All their fans. Literally all their fans. That's
Arkansas they,
that, fans that's their that? Favorite rivalry.
That's weird.
They hate Missouri. So you think that's a rivalry. But
you know what I miss, dude? I really want to lose. You know, like, we don't lose enough. That's so weird. And that's the 28th F word. But we went like 7 minutes without one, which is good. I thought it was a decent job. I thought it was it'll be interesting to see how they rotate everything. Because there are gonna be some years where people are gonna get like I'm more interested to see how Sankey manages the 6 games rotation than right. anything else. Because I'm filming a show. I'm calling back in 5 minutes.
What?
I'm filming a show. Always calling.
You're live on the air.
Live on the air. Okay. You just call like 3 times in a row. I think it's about Bruce Pearl. But I think the thing with the 6 games, that is where I'm most concerned because you look at what you just showed me, and it's like Texas got a pretty good draw, or a pretty tough draw. There were some of the teams they had in comparison to what they had on their full schedule this year. And then you're like, well, like, are they going to end up getting Vandy, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Florida or whatever in their 6 games? Or like, are you going to see something with Bama where like they get LSU out of the gates? Like, are we going to see two, market owes her money.
It's his dealer.
We should probably stop that rumor pretty quickly. I think
this is something we have to commit to for the entire season.
I'm constantly doing this anyway, and it doesn't help the argument, but like, I do want to be very clear. I don't do cocaine, guys. My nose is very red right now.
And now what we're going to have to bitch about, which I don't think people have thought enough about, five home games versus four.
Oh, what do you mean?
Because now we have nine conference games, right? Yeah. So like Tennessee, I've heard, is getting five SEC home games next year. What if Georgia only gets four? You know, that there's going to be some bitching there, I would imagine.
We always find a way. So, it'll be interesting to see, I have every faith in the world that Greg Sankey's going to come out and deliver the news and be like, all right, guys, here's the first year. And it'll be Georgia. And it's like, Georgia, you're going to go to Oklahoma. You're going to get Texas again.
What are the odds that this was how they had it set up? And the SEC gets so mad at On3 and Chris Lowe, they're like, fuck it, we're changing the whole thing, and they do it Tuesday night.
They should. They honestly should. This has been in the works for a while. I heard a couple of things about this just from like behind the scenes, to be honest. Not making a joke here, but like behind the scenes, like they knew about this for a while. I was putting out graphics all summer where it was like, hey man, here's all the teams that have scheduled Power Four opponents over the next 10 years, and it's Bama, Florida, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, and three of those schools have built-in Power Four in-state rivals every year. Bama just started going out there and fucking, hey, how many games can we play, dude? Like, they're playing, like, Oklahoma State and Notre Dame in the same – like, they're playing two every Power Four opponents every single year from now until 2034. Ole Miss doesn't have a single one scheduled until 2032. And you're looking at this and, like, that's such a coward's way out, and people are all mad about it. And then you look at it and you're like, what – it's not like they didn't know this was coming. Like, this has been something that, like, what I was told at least, that ADs knew this was coming down the pipe for several years. So the ones that kind of laid low and waited to see things unfold before they started making all these crazy schedule changes,
right?
Those are the ones that were the smart ones that waited.
Well, I see that logic, but I also, they knew the playoff was expanding, right? So what is the goals at Ole Miss, no disrespect, and the goals at Alabama are different. At Alabama, we're trying to reach the playoff, so we need resume boosters. At Ole Miss, we're trying to get as many wins as we can, so we get these damn jokers on our damn schedule, like Georgia Southern, Tulane, Washington State wasn't their fault, but Citadel. I mean, I know
they replaced Wake Forest with Washington State. Right? Or was that a different game? I don't know.
See, even Mace is like, we got Pitt next year. Like that's his bragging point. You just said it yourself. Bama's got Ohio State and Notre Dame. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, Alabama plays. I think they play Florida State at home, and then like Oklahoma State, and then they get Notre. I did a whole graphic on it. But it's like they play Notre Dame, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Ohio State, West Virginia. I think they just canceled West Virginia one. Like they and Virginia Tech and Arizona for some reason are like, yeah, we'll play you guys. We'll play you guys. I don't know what they're doing. Good question from Derek here. I don't know.
No, I have the answer. That's why I was highlighting it. Because Texas and Oklahoma play the neutral site game, Florida, Georgia play the neutral site game. Whenever those teams are designated the home team, that let's say, I don't know who it is, but let's just say it's Georgia is the home team next year, then they'll get four home SEC games. That's how they're going to do that one. And same deal with Texas, Oklahoma. Whoever's the designated home team at Red River, they got four SEC home games. So it'll never be three. So that's just something to keep note of.
It's good of him to ask, but if you ever thought, if a Texas fan thought that it, no matter what conference they were in, they were ever going to get the fucking short end of the stick, that's never going to happen. That was never going to happen.
All right, buddy. Hey, we went over an hour here. Really appreciate your time. Before we go, remind them how to follow you. No profanities on the Twitters, I think. And then how to find all your work.
There's a lot of profanities.
Okay.
But celebrated my 1 year being back on Twitter, and I got 6,000 followers. So there we go. Look at me go. Yeah.
Man, you'd have about 50 if you didn't have all your accounts canceled.
Yeah, I think I'd be at like 20,000 like combined. So Vern_Funquist on Twitter, Vern_Funquist CFP on Instagram. Never want to have those things the same, and just, you know, be more streamlined in having people follow you. But yeah, Fourth and Wrong podcast will be live tonight, actually, on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. My buddy Tyler Huff, and then that's about it. Oh, LouisianaSports.net. I write everything over there. I wrote something earlier. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell. But
and Locked On Gamecock.
And Locked On Gamecocks.
And which was the one they yelled at so we can go look at it?
It's the SEC, Locked On SEC squad show from yesterday. It is very uncomfortable.
Okay, I'm going to go watch it right now. Thank you, Chris. And we'll catch you next week. And also, hey, I'm on Locked On Gamecock every week. So check that out.
2 o'clock, 2:30.
Your highest rated Locked On Gamecock every week, I would imagine.
That's right. You're right.
And a different hat every time. Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye, everybody. See you tonight. Stephen Lassen, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.